Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. We've been doing a sermon series together over the season of Lent, heading toward Easter, on the book and the life of Job, right? And questions that arise out of that book. And today will be the last sermon in the series. And since it's Palm Sunday, I thought, since we're remembering Jesus' suffering on our behalf, we could look at comparing Jesus and Job. And I want to answer this question. Was Job, do you think, just a random guy who lived in ancient history, sort of this isolated incident, and he had these sufferings? Or do you think he was actually a shadow of the Christ to come, a preview of Jesus Christ, a forerunner of the Christ, a type of Christ in the Old Testament? What do you think? I mean, if you look at his, you know, Job's sufferings, were those just some sufferings that happened long ago, or were they pointing ultimately forward to the sufferings of Christ on our behalf? Let's take a look at this today, compare Jesus and Job, and in particular, my aim is that we would have a greater joy and confidence in Jesus as we look at the comparison between these two men. Jesus and Job, similarities and differences. Let's take a look. First of all, if you look at Jesus and Job, first similarity I see is that they were both champions before God. Amen? Champions of God on earth. Let's take a look here at Job, for example. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. And as you know, Satan came into the courts in heaven with God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" So God is boasting of Job before Satan. Is Job God's champion on earth? Blameless, upright, fears God, turns away from evil, pursues righteousness, and guess what? God says this. What a commendation, right? "I have no one else on earth like him." That there is no one on earth like this man, like Job. Would you say in that sense he's a preview of Christ to come? I mean, Job was fantastic, right? He was great. We would aspire to be like him, but guess what? Jesus is so superior as to make the comparison beyond comparison. Jesus, his name in Scripture, the one who is coming, to us a son is given, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so, if Job was great, think about this. Job was God's champion on the earth. Jesus is God's champion from heaven. Amen? So these two are alike in that. And can you just see that? If Satan were to come into God's courts in heaven, and God were to say, like he said of Job, but now he speaks of Jesus, "Satan, have you considered my servant Jesus, that there is none like him on the earth?" Well, maybe when God said that about Job, Satan was angry and ready to go after Job. When God would say that about Jesus, Satan would be trembling, right? Because he knows there is none like him. I know him. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Heaven. Oh, no, here he comes, right? So Job and Jesus were both champions of God. Jesus, though, superior to Job. And they're also similar in this way, is that they both engaged in war, in the invisible places, right? In this spiritual battle, in this cosmic conflict, this war in the heavenlies. If you think about it, Job was thrust into this without even knowing what was going on. You go over here and you read that when God says that of Job, Satan answers, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Haven't you put a hedge about him and his house and all that he has and on every side? But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will curse thee to thy face." And God basically says, yeah, challenge accepted. And he allows Satan to go only so far to afflict Job. But how did Job enter into this spiritual conflict, this great war? Clueless, not knowing what was going on, didn't have an understanding, unwittingly, without understanding his purpose in it, sort of in a victim way, actually. And in time, he did great. We could say, good job, Job, right? I always wanted to say that. Good job, Job. But in the end, he started to falter and fail. Well, how about Jesus? Jesus entered into this holy battle, this cosmic conflict, this war in the heavenlies. But he didn't fail, but prevailed. He didn't enter into it unwittingly, but wittingly, purposefully, knowingly, understandably, and saying, here I am, Lord, send me, because I'm coming down for your people, for you guys, for you and me. Job was under the gun as in this warfare as a victim. I'll tell you, Jesus cleaned up shop as a victor. Because when we look at how Jesus engaged in this battle, unlike Job, over there in Matthew chapter 4, says that then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Conflict, war, engagement with the enemy. The devil comes against him. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jesus says, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. And Satan tries another trick. Takes him to a pinnacle of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For Psalm 91 says, the angels will bear you up. Jesus says again, it is written, Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, he takes him to the highest mountain, a very high mountain, and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. All these I'll give you, Jesus, if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus says, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Beaten, 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 amen? Job was God's champion on earth, and he did pretty well for a sinful mortal flesh. But Jesus came as the champion from heaven, and he won, and he won, and he kept on winning, right? Which brings me up to, I don't want to get political here, but the line that Trump keeps using, we're going to win, we're going to keep winning, and we're going to go on winning, right? That would be a line more appropriate, maybe so for Trump, I don't know, but more appropriate for Jesus Christ, right? Trump always says this, everybody that's come against me, just look at them. They've gone from this to zero, right? How about with Jesus Christ? Every time Satan came against him as God's champion, Satan went from this to a big fat zero, and Jesus goes up every time they engaged. Whenever a demon came against Christ and said, you're the Holy One of Israel, I know who you are. Jesus would say, be silent and come out of him. And the demon came out. And people say, what's this word? He's coming with authority and power. Who is this man? He's the champion. He's the King of heaven. And this is important for us. You know why? Because we're all engaged in this same battle. We're fighting not against flesh and blood people, but against princes, against, Paul says, the world rulers of this present darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And you've got a champion on your side, friends, who says, I'm going to win. I'm going to win big, and I'm going to keep on winning for you. A champion on the field of battle, our Lord Jesus. So would you say Job is a preview of Christ? A champion? Did pretty well, but nothing like our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, as he rode into Jerusalem on that donkey on that Palm Sunday, right after that festal procession, he says this in John 12, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the ruler of this world be cast up, and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. That's the champion. He saved us. He's gone to the cross to die for us, to be raised, to give us eternal life. He's gotten the victory. He's going to win, right? He's going to win big, and he's going to keep on winning. Third, you could look at Job as a preview of Christ in that he was blameless. Excuse me. How did Jesus conquer? He had to be what kind of a champion? Blameless, right? Look at Job. Have you considered him a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? Job was blameless. He walked a holy life. He pursued righteousness, etc. The cause of the poor. But guess what? He was still a sinner in need of a Savior to be saved by grace. Jesus comes along. He has no sin. He is the Savior who saves by grace. Amen? Amen? Think about this. Job was a preview. He needed a redeemer. Jesus comes and says, I am the redeemer. For he told the Jews, which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why don't you believe in me? Jesus taught that he was sinless, that he himself was sinless. He's a high priest who is able to sympathize with yours and my weaknesses. He's been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. John the Baptist said he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How could Jesus take away your sins and mine if he had a sin, right? He had to be sinless. He came as the champion from heaven, superior to Job, to die for us and be raised to get us the victory. He gave his life for us. And Peter says, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Can you take that into your hearts right now? This is an event in history, a victory that has ramifications for you today. Forgiven, eternal life, by grace, through faith, through the champion, Jesus Christ. So that if you could just picture Satan coming against Jesus, and Satan has all these prisoners and captives to sin, you and me, Jesus comes up and says, bye-bye, right? In that line from Trump again, everybody that's come against me says, bye-bye. They're going. They're going out. They're going down. Jesus, Satan comes against him. They go down to zero. He goes up to 100, and he wins. And he wins big, and he wins continually for God's people. He entered the conflict knowingly, wittingly, purposefully, not for himself, like Job, but for you and for me to give us the victory. And then how did Jesus conquer? He was sinless. What did he have to do? He had to suffer great sufferings like no one else has ever seen. Was Job a preview of the Christ to come, his sufferings pointing forward to the worst to come? Satan went out and afflicted Job and took away his home, his life, his children, his wealth, his health. And Job at the end said, when he lost everything, he arose and rent his robe. But guess what? Job kept his life. Satan couldn't take his life. Jesus gave his life. He went a step further than Job, right? Not that Satan took it from him. No one takes it from him. Jesus laid it down of his own accord for our salvation. Like Job, who was a preview, but superior. Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, said Jesus, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified, and he'll be raised on the third day. Amen? Amen? All of Job's friends, as a preview, forsook him, didn't they? They betrayed him. He ultimately says, my kinsfolk and my close friends have failed me, says Job. All my intimate friends abhor me. Those whom I loved have turned against me. What do we learn of the Christ? Jesus said, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And indeed, they all ran. When Jesus was betrayed by Judas, they all ran from him and betrayed him. But whereas Job railed against his friends and said, miserable comforters are you all, Jesus died for his friends, right? He restored them. Greater love has no man than this, Jesus said, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he died for us when we betrayed him. Is that true? It says here in the scriptures that God shows his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you guys sinners out there today? Have you been a sinner? Have you sinned? Yes. Martin Luther says, if you don't think you're a sinner, just put your hand on your flesh and shake it and see if you're actually of the flesh. If you're of the flesh, then believe what God has said of you, that you're a sinner. And if you don't believe that enough, then ask your neighbor if you're of the world, if you're in the world. If you're actually in the world, then know that what God says of the world is true, that it's all under God's wrath, right? But Jesus died for us when you were a sinner, and it says this in Romans 5, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more that now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. I want to ask you, do you have hope today that God loves you? That you have eternal life and forgiveness of sins? Even then, when you were his enemy, Jesus died for you. Job railed against his friends and who betrayed him. Jesus loved his friends and restored them to life. He restores you. He restores me. And consider also, Job was a preview in that he trusted in God even unto death. It's written there in Job 13. Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Of course, toward the end, what do we know happened to him? He failed. He faltered, right? He stumbled. He had to repent in dust and ashes. And God actually said, will you even condemn me, Job, that you may be justified? And Job had to say, I despise myself. I repent. But Jesus never failed. Never failed you. Never failed me. Instead of exalting himself and getting humbled like Job, he humbled himself, even unto death on a cross, and God's highly exalted him. And every knee will bow and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And when the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He trusted even unto death. Job tried and failed. Jesus prevailed. Job was a victim. Christ was a victor. And Job, like Jesus, endured his sufferings with an eye toward his resurrection. In Job 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he'll stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How did Job endure all these terrible things? For the joy that was set before him, correct? How did Jesus endure his cross? For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Heaven's champion. He looked and endured for the joy that was set before him, like Job, but better. Because Job had to look for a resurrection and meeting his Redeemer. Guess what? Jesus says, Job, I'm the Redeemer. And he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yes. Amen. He is our Redeemer. And I want you to know this is the word that comes to you from the heavenly champion. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. How do you endure your sufferings? Can you look for the joy that's set before you? First the cross, then the glory, you will be raised. God says, I'll raise you. I'm the Redeemer. And then both men, Jesus and Job, after suffering, came into their reward. For in Job 42, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave him two popsicle sticks and a bicycle. Twice as much as he had before, right? That's what he gave him. What did Jesus enter into after his suffering? When he'd offer for all time a sacrifice for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for him. All things God gave to his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, everything has been given to me by my Father, and now what he's been given to me, I declare it to you to share in my victory. Was Job a preview of Jesus Christ? Yes. But Job entered into fading riches. Jesus, with you and me now, enter into unfading riches, an imperishable wreath, undefiled inheritance kept in heaven for you until the last day, says Peter. So Job was a man who became a part of Scripture. That's fantastic. I wish, you know, we could become that. But you know what? Jesus is the author of Scripture. At the end of this book, Job had to be rebuked by God. Jesus is the God who rebuked him. He's the king. And Job was a man who, through his suffering, showed us the mystery of suffering and God's purposes in it. And Jesus is the one who shows us the mystery of the gospel. That through suffering, the cross, God gave to you and to me eternal life. Say eternal life. You're never going to die. Even if you die, your body dies, you live forever and will be raised into a kingdom of glory because of what he did for us. And this is the mystery, kept secret for long ages, but now revealed, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Amen. Was Job a preview of Jesus Christ? A forerunner? I believe he was. Certainly very similar. But look at this. Job was a champion on earth. Jesus is the champion from heaven. Job was a victim. Jesus is the victor. Job failed. Jesus prevailed. Job was raised to fading glory. Jesus to unfading. Job was under Satan's thumb. Jesus came to put Satan under his thumb and went up to Satan and said, "You come against me, you're going to go bye-bye. Because I'm going to win. I'm going to win big. And I'm going to win for my people continually for them." In Jesus' name, amen.